160 are going through the interview process as we speak at the moment, and of which 87 have expressed an interest for the CHO1, which includes Donegal, Cavan, Monaghan, Sligo and Leitrim. In actual fact, there's 87, of which there's an active engagement in the Donegal side. I would be wrong of me to say it isn't a challenge. Absolutely, it is a challenge. And at the same time, we have tried to, what we've done is we have worked with the panel system to give people who actually have a preference, who have the skill set, the opportunity to come and work for us in Donegal. And that's why we have 87. It's probably one of the highest regions in the country where we have that number of applicants going through the interview process for the area. Which in itself, hopefully, will bring the fruits of what we require. But then again, there's the other piece on it. We need senior and experienced as well as what you're touching on there, Greg, because there is a deficit in experience in all of our teams as well, experience at a senior grade.
We also have a big issue in the north of the county in terms of a respite centre that was located in Carndonagh. It's been closed now for a number of years, 3 years, I think, and there's not a lot of confidence that those types of services might be returned to that area this year. It provides, valuable assistance to families and children and adults with complex needs. Any progress in that regard?
So there is progress being done, and the reason, and hopefully I will be able to follow up with you on this one, but hopefully there will be something in the disability service grants later on this afternoon to address maybe that area. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have, as I said to you, secured 15 million, which is 25 million the full year. So I am launching a national respite plan, and I would hope to leave. I hope to address areas like that, Greg, because areas like that are invaluable to that community, to those families. And when we have areas that where we've buildings closed, and I struggle to get buildings, it's my job to ensure that they're opened and operationalised.
It's often delivery is the issue rather than funding, it seems, at this point with some of these services.
Absolutely, and maybe we need to look at how we deliver services. Maybe they need to be done a little bit differently. And maybe respite might not always be about an overnight stay. Maybe respite could be the after-school space. Maybe we're able to get staff to cater for some of the needs, but not all of the needs. But maybe we need to be a little bit more agile in how we deliver those services. Because at the end of the day, some respite is better than no respite. So we need to start making traction to just get it going.
Whilst parents and guardians are trying to get their children assessed through CDNT, we did discuss previously about perhaps maybe using private services, and you had an unspent fund that you thought could be repackaged and recommissioned that we could get children. I don't need to tell you how important it is to get assessment and supports in there as early as possible. How are things moving in that regard?
So we're doing three things there, Greg. First and foremost, we have 6.8 million secured for the long waiters. They're the children who, no matter what happens, they always seem to be falling back in timelines. So the whole ambition there is to deal with the long waiters, regardless, the long waiters. The other part then was the funding that you talked about, repackaging, and that was to address using private, using overtime, using Saturday services to get those assessments done. We are doing that, and we've 11.5 million there. And we're very fortunate. We are able to work across border as well and secure maybe some of the psychology supports that needs to come in to help us finish on some of those assessment of needs. We are able to acquire those services there as well. And finally, the final piece in it is the treatment purchase fund. We are now moving to actually also, and I've got the permission to get the treatment purchase fund stepped up to assist people as well. So I'm doing a three-prong approach on this one, Greg, leaving no stone unturned, because you are right. Assessment is only one step in it, but it's a vital step in the cog to get it all going. So we're looking at it from the very long waiters to the children that are in the system there, might have started but not gone quickly enough, and also the treatment purchase fund as a mechanism going forward That treatment purchase fund, that once you fall over your 6 months, you should have the right to be able to avail of it.
But of course, there's that balance that has to be struck, isn't there, whereby, you know, ideally we want, you know, well-resourced, well-staffed public services, but in the meantime, we do have to lean into the private sector where necessary, but we don't want it to be at the expense of the former in the medium to long term.
No, and I suppose really, Greg, this is where we need to get to. We need to clear that backlog. So it's an actual fact that the public system can actually function and breathe. And at the moment, it's not functioning and breathing in any of those stages because this crisis all the way along. And most importantly, that crisis is the crisis for the family. So we need to actually declutter and remove the long waiting list, get it to a manageable space so the public system can actually function.
And just in relation to the respite services we talked of, not specifically, but where they are, there are gaps. Do you believe that the approach you're taking will see services return or delivered in some of the areas we're talking about? I don't want to get too specific because you're covering 26 counties, but will this plan start to see the return of these facilities, and can we time frame that?
Yeah, that is the whole idea. And I suppose that's where I have worked very closely with Edel and her team. Like, where we have buildings that are not functioning, first and foremost, how can we bring in and put them operationalised? And maybe it mightn't have been to the scale it was in the past, but let's get the services going. And that is, when I talk about respite comes in many shapes and forms. It can be a Saturday club, it can be an after-schools club, it can be a weekend break, it can be shared care, it can be a number of things. And that is what we need to do, is get to that suite of measures that actually, where we can staff it, where we can resource it, but where we can also lend the support. We just don't need to be totally blinkered in what it must look like. But getting a delivery and getting throughput of support to families has to be our number one priority.
Yeah. And you know, when you reference sort of long waiters and access to the treatment purchase fund, how do we make sure that we're reaching those people that might identify as that? Do they have to come forward? Will the state reach out to them and say, oh, by the way, we recognise your family have been waiting a long time?
The state is going to reach out.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, the state is going to reach out. But the simple reason being is, like, it's very, very clear, like, what is our furthest state out that we've said to somebody that you won't be receiving an assessment till? Like, the HSE have that data. It's working on that data. Greg.
All right, okay. Anything else we're missing out, Minister, before I let you go? You are going to the Ballymacool Respite Centre in Letterkenny.
And I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Go ahead, talk to me.
But you know what? Sensory gardens is something that I believe they're phenomenal, and more of them need to be seen in the community. More of them need to be more accessible. More of our county councils, when they're building, need to be building those sensory spaces. But to be very fair to Ballymacool, to be very fair to the HSE and the service providers, they know what good looks like when it comes to sensory gardens. In actual fact, we need more people to actually mirror up what they're doing and bring them more integrated into the community so that everybody can benefit from them.
Okay, well, listen, it's been nice speaking to you. We'll hear, we look forward to hearing what the announcements are, any positive announcements later in the day as you visit Donegal. But for now, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much indeed. God bless
you.
Okay,
take care. Bye-bye. Okay, that is Minister of State for Disability, Anne Rabbitt, 086 60 25,000. Any reaction in relation to that, as we say?